If you got your Bibles, go over with me to, we're going to be in Psalm 42, but I want to tell you how Psalm 42 came about. It's very interesting. I was reading, chin up. It's dreary. Looking around you, we got the long stuff out, we got the long sleeves, the sweatshirts, the coats and all that. Shorts are gone. Short sleeves are gone. It's just gotten cold and dreary. It's going to change the clocks back, what, this weekend? And it's going to be dark at what, like 3:30 in the evening, it feels like. It's like you get to lunch and you're like, oh, it's time to go to bed. It's crazy how it is. A lot of people get down. A lot of people get depressed. A lot of people get low. You don't have the sun. You get home from work. You drive home from work in the dark. Can't get out in the yard, can't work in the yard, it's just kind of blah. And this is a very depressing time for many, many people. People get down. People get really down. They get sick, they get down, they go in their home and all of that stuff. And as I was thinking about this, and you know, looking at these verses and thinking about how we can get in us, we can just get down, we can get low. Even believers that are in this room, believers that we worship on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we go out there to life, it's easy to life get us down. We're going to be in Psalms 42, but I want us to look at, look over at Numbers, Korah's rebellion. And here's why, if you're flipping back to Psalm 42, look at here, Psalm 42, thirsting for God, and this is just what this Bible says, but it's a masculine of the sons of Korah. Korah's sons wrote this, and this is how we got here tonight. As I was sitting there, and Monday I started reading, I just kept reading Numbers. You know, we were in Numbers this past weekend, and I just kept reading in Numbers, and you get over here to Numbers chapter 16, just a few pages from where we were this past Sunday, and notice this. Now Korah, the son of, all right, skip on down, that's his lineage. Go to verse 2. Korah did this, Korah and a whole bunch of them. And they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation chosen in the assembly, men of renown. And notice what they do. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough. For all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Here's Korah, and these 250 people come to Moses and Aaron. And of course, Moses and Aaron are just doing what God has called them to do. And these people basically, again, rebel. If you've read the Old Testament and you see how the children of Israel are, they really remind us a lot of me. And they remind us a lot of us. It's like they're ups and down. They're on fire for God. They repent. They're really close. And the next thing, rebelling against God. And God's ready to destroy them. And Moses comes and falls on his face and pleads before God to them. And then they repent. And then it's just up and down and up and down. Who does that remind you of? Us. We're close to God. We're hungering for Him. And the very next minute, we're out living for ourselves. It's like, we got that okay. And then we're convicted and we're brought back to God. And then we slowly slip away. We steadily drift. We steadily veer. We steadily get off. And He brings us back. Praise God. Praise God, though, that along our journeys of being made into the image of Christ, here's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. And do we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We don't take it for granted. Do we continue do we just wake up and say, "Woohoo, I'm gonna go and live for me because I know the indwelling power and presence of the Holy Spirit is going to convict me and bring me back. He's going to show me." We don't do that. But praise God, He's there. Praise God that when we get to drifting and we get to falling away and we find ourselves in a desert, desolate, dark place, that we know that He's there and His Spirit starts convicting us. His Spirit, here's the beauty of it. The closer you walk with God, the more you hunger and thirst for Him, the more you seek after Him, the more you stay in His Word. Here's the cool thing about it. As soon as you even start thinking, you know, it starts in the mind. You got to decide to rebel. You got to decide to sin. You got to decide to follow through with whatever the action is. It begins in the mind. And as the closer we are, whether it's as we study in God's Word and we're walking with Him, here's what happens. When we start those thoughts even coming to our minds, the Holy Spirit just starts working. I mean, isn't that awesome about God? Isn't that so cool? Over the last while, on Sunday mornings for sure, it's just been hammering, repent, repent, sin, drift, consequences, all of this stuff. And you as believers, you agree. But we're not talking about the little ones. The deep ones is really where my heart's been. The deep ones, those untalked about, those unspoken ones, those that are just, they're just accepted. But praise God that His Spirit, when we start toying and entertaining those notions that of whatever, the Spirit of God is that voice that starts reminding you and starts making it even harder. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how it just becomes hard to even get away from God because He's got you so close? I mean, I will not take my family, my kids. I wouldn't take my kids to the Grand Canyon for nothing because I'm a hawk. I am. I'm just an overbearing, overprotective, I'm just all of that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just see how deep that hole is. If one slipped, they gone and I couldn't protect them. And they think for themselves and they'll just want to get over it. Where do I get that from? Where do you get that from as a parent? That hovering, that mama hen-ness of hey, you know, I can just visualize a mama hen sitting down, she's got her bitties, and one of them just gets to kind of wandering out, and she like just kind of grabs it and pulls it back under. Where does that come from? Guys, it comes from our Creator. Praise God for that. When we start wandering and we start straying and our eyes start going to things they shouldn't do, praise God that He just immediately brings us back. Praise God that He makes it hard for us sometimes. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. The further we get from Him, let's just say you go, it's easy to go a while without ever reading this. It's easy. It's easy to go a while without seriously praying. It's easy to the words drift. It's easy to get far away. And here's the thing. The further away we are, the easier it is to just, it's like His voice. We don't hear it as clear. Sometimes He allows us to hit difficult things to wake us up. Sometimes He allows us to hit, we don't always have to hit rock bottom, but we do some really foolish stuff. We hurt a lot of people. We make a lot of mess. We do some bad things. But praise God, He's a forgiving God. Because here's the deal. You say, well, these Korah folks, this Korah and this crew, look how far they stand up against Moses. And this is where it started. This is kind of interesting. Look at verse 4. When Moses heard this, he fell on his face and spoke to Korah and all the company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who He is. Moses already knew you've gone too far. You done messed up. You shouldn't have done it. You don't bring a charge against God's elect. It's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Tomorrow morning, the Lord will show who is His and who is holy and will bring him near to himself. Even the one whom he will choose, he will bring near to you. You get all the way over. Get all the way over. Look at verse 31. Next day comes. God shows up. God shows out. The rebels are punished. How are they punished? Look at verse 31. As he finished speaking all the words, the ground that was under them split open. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah and their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, for they said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. There's consequences. Consequences. That's where I was. That's really where I was Monday and Tuesday. And I was reading that and I'm thinking to myself, Lord God, you won't let me leave this whole core and this rebellion. And I've read on between it and they rebel and there's murmurings. The children of Israel, they repent and they get close. And then the next, why didn't you let us die in Egypt? And then they're back close. And I'm sitting here thinking, Lord, Lord, Lord. And this morning I wake up. And literally, I'm praying. Like normal thing, I wake up in prayer. Wake up in prayer. You wake up in prayer. Do you? Praise God. Praise God. You know what I'm talking about. You wake up just in prayer. It's a constant conversation. I'm not talking about when I was a kid. I had a misunderstanding. I did. I was a kid. I thought that what you had to do was this is what prayer looked like. Beside your bed, because this is what the pictures look like, right? You got kids and they're down like this and they're praying and all, and I never did it like that. I just laid in the bed and prayed. I'd pray myself to sleep. I'd wake up praying. I just wake up praying. It's crazy. It's wake up having a conversation with God morning. I'm not telling you something out of a book I read when I say wake up with morning Jesus. Not a book I read. I just try to wake up saying, good morning, Jesus. It works. This morning, it's like morning, and we're just talking, having a conversation. And I'm like, Lord God, you got to give me the words. That's all I pray. For Sundays and Wednesdays, Lord, speak through me. Give me the words, God, that you desire for us to hear. God, use me as your mouthpiece. Give me the words. Wasn't audible. It's never audible. But as clear as I'm standing in front of you, here's what I heard. As the deer pant for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And I'm like, where's that at? I'm like, we got to find that. And I got my phone out and I Googled, as the deer pant. I mean, I'm not super spiritual. I just got my phone and I put right there, as the deer pants for the water, and it popped up Psalm 42. But you know what was cool about Psalm 42? Who wrote it? Who wrote it? Remember, it's a song. It's a song, a maskil of the sons of Korah. And I just sat there in the middle without even going any further, without even knowing any more. I just sat there and had just a little Holy Ghost revival moment thinking, God, you are so cool. You are so sweet to talk to us like that. We don't deserve him communing with us the way he does. We don't deserve that, but praise God. You will never, I may not be able to articulate it, I may not be able to defend it properly. The Bible says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. He texts this morning, hey, what's the verse? My verse was, look, I may not be able to completely defend it, but I know it's true. I know He's real. I know He's there. I know He's present. I know He walks with me. I know He never leaves me nor forsakes me. I know that in my weakness, when I'm really weak and I ain't got a clue, when I'm at the end of myself, that's when He says, exactly, that's where I want you to be. Now watch me show out. That's where He wants us. And He took us there, and it was just, as a dear parent for the wilderness, look at it. Look at this psalm. Guys, it's a lament. It's a cry. It's a song. It's a cry. But even us can get down sometimes. It's cold. I don't like cold weather. Some of you like cold weather. I don't like cold. Cold weather hurts me. Okay, I know I got a lot of meat on my bones, but them bones hurt. All right, I got fragile meat. And it gets really cold. I hurt, and it just hurts. I don't like cold. I'd rather sweat any day than get cold. And it just hurts so bad. And a lot of people get down. They get depressed. They suffer. There's so many ailments. There's so many things that go on when the seasons change, when we transition. And we got this whole clock change thing coming back to us this week, even though they pass laws, but laws in the state don't matter. We're going to have it, period, until they figure something else out. We're going to change them clocks. Look at what it says. Listen to this. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? My tears have been my food day and night while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Have you ever been so low? And I'm not saying raise your hand, but in your spirit it's okay to be able to agree with it and say, you know what, Lord, I understand what He's talking about there. I understand when you know I'm hungering and I'm thirsting and nothing else is satisfying me. My job's not, what used to make me happy doesn't, and my family doesn't. It's just, Lord, there's nothing else that satisfies like You do. There's nothing else that satisfies like You do. Thing is, we look for satisfaction. We look for all of that to complete us in all the wrong places. He fully satisfies. He fully completes. He fully gives us everything we need. That's the reason people get in the mess they do. That's the reason even folks inside of church do. They hear, hey, how are you doing on your daily Bible reading? How are you doing hungering and thirsting and seeking for God in the Word? And if anything, it's just to check the box to get off on to whatever you got to get to today. It's not really getting in it. It's not really prayer life. You hear, hey, go to bed with Him and wake up with Him, and you say, it's easy to get away. It's easy to wonder where He is. It's easy to lose Him in the cloud. The enemy is Satan. Okay? All right? The enemy is Satan. He always will be. He's not a person. The enemy is not a group. The enemy is not an individual. The enemy is not a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. The enemy is not a boss. The enemy is not a human being. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against evil, evil things that are powerful. They're manipulative. And they try to convince us that he's the problem or she's the problem, and it gets groups and we drives a wedge and it pushes people apart. Satan is the enemy. If there's one truth I know, but if there's one truth I continually have to remind myself in ministry, is Satan is the enemy, not people. Not anything else. He is the one we're fighting. That nugget, guys, that nugget's not something you just... That nugget's got to be settled. That nugget's got to be almost brought out on a daily basis and looked at. That nugget of truth is probably... It would probably do every one of us well to... Okay, let's say we are okay in the house. But at least when you're riding to wherever you're headed to, you take that nugget and you set it on the dash and you just think, look, the devil's you the problem, not who I'm going to see. You're the problem, not who I'm working with. You're the problem, not who I'm in school with. You're the problem, not who I'm nobody else. You're the problem and you're defeated. That is so freeing. That is so freeing. But we wrestle with it all the time. We have to pull it out. I don't think that's something we should ever tuck it away. We should never even put it on our pocket. It should be hung around. It should be right here. It should be constantly in our thoughts. Look, you're not the issue. They're not the issue. That group's not the issue. That bunch over there is not the issue. That whatever, they're not the issue. The devil, he's trying to trip me up. He's trying to me up. He don't want me to be where God wants me to be. He don't want me to be who God wants me to be. Because when we allow ourselves to drift, and we allow ourselves to sink, and when we allow ourselves to listen to lies, we can find ourselves in a place to where we're saying, where are you, God? Where in the world are you even at? Because I know you're there. I know you're there, but I don't feel you. I know you're there, but I don't. It's different. Look at verse 4. These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession in the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. It's like here I am. I am the one saying, Lord, where in the world are you? And I'm the one that I used to lead worship. I used to be right in the center of it. I used to be just going along with the throngs, the joy, the celebration. I was right there, and now here I am. I'm a shell. Where are you, God? Whether I'm far away or whether I'm just low, or whether I bought into the lie that and I didn't put the nugget where it should be, that people are never my enemy or never my issue. It's always Satan. And I didn't let that get buried off and down in the basement somewhere, and it's nowhere even in my thought process ever. My mind is churning. Woe is me. My mind is churning. If I could just, and just, who can go this far down? I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession in the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. In this, there's self-talk. You ever talk to yourself? Anybody ever talk to yourself? You ever listen? What are you saying? You ever self-negative talk? You ever stop and let self speak and you listen to what self is saying? Like, listen? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why? Listen, I don't know who you are. I don't know which one person this is for, but we're about to set the clocks back, and it's cold outside, and we're getting into the dog days of depressive winter. You may be the only voice of reason that'll actually get through to you in a month from now. You may be the only voice that might get through to you in February. Why in the world am I in despair? The same God that was with me back when I was in the room and we were worshiping and we were praising God, and God was just doing so many things. He was speaking to me, and I was waking up with him on my lips. And I was going to bed with him in my heart. He's not changed. He's not gone anywhere. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. He's still there. Oh, so why are you in despair? Why in the world are you at this place? Remember verse 4? Remember the singing? Remember the festival? Remember this celebration? Why in the world have you let yourself get to this place? Sometimes, no matter if he says it to me or she says it to me or somebody outside is saying it to me, sometimes the only person we're going to listen to is us, me, Shannon. You know God. You know he's there. He's been with you the whole time. Remember? Remember? The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to steal your happiness. He wants to steal your contentment. He wants to steal your ineffect. He wants to make you ineffective. He wants to render you useless. He wants to count you out. We all watched the game last night. Anybody watch the game last night? You've got some Braves fans? I ain't been a Braves fan since 95. I come up here and I brought them to victory, Casey. I did. I watched the first few innings of it, and I watched the end, and it got to the point that I was good luck early on, and then it got to a point, he's like, shh, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing, because I was jinxing them. What, a 25 million member fan base, and I was jinxing them in his mind. He's messed up. I don't even know where I was going. Let's go to the next verse. Yeah, you messed us. Your fault. My fault. Oh, my God, my soul is in despair within me. And I want to say this. You can be in the middle of this congregation. You can be in the middle of this room. We had a crew here Sunday morning. This place was full. A lot of folks. You can be in the middle of that throng of people and be so lonely. You can be in that mass of humanity worshiping, celebrating, and you can see hands held high, and you can see people right next to you. And you can be so lonely and so hurt and so bought into whatever. Don't forget God. Don't forget who he is. Don't forget where he's at. Don't forget where he's brought you. Don't forget whose you are. Don't forget who he is. Do not forget. The enemy wants you to forget. He wants you to suffer. He wants you to hurt. He wants you to be lonely. He wants you to quit. He wants you to quit. He wants you to bow out. He wants you to say there's no hope. There's no reason. It's wasting time. The enemy wants to write you off. That was it. Strike you out. Good job. That was it. Ball game, strike you out, remember? You're like, wow, you're a good preacher. I'm really not. Why are you in despair, my soul? Oh, my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. Guys, it really hurts. It's real. I'll never water it down, and I'll never say it's not real, and I'll never sit there and say, hey, what you're going through is not really painful and really serious and really something. It is something, and it really hurts, and it's really, really real. But God hasn't changed. I mean, where you are is really deep, and what you're thinking is really messed up, but he hasn't changed one bit. He's still God. And I'm telling you, at the moment, that may not be what you want to hear, but it's the only truth that really matters is look, you're in a bad place. And Satan, whatever the moment, whatever has, whether it was drifting that got you there, and historically we drifted a little and came back, and drifted a little and came back, and all of a sudden we done drifted, and his voice that I used to hear so clearly is now I just don't hear you so much, and I'm in a messed up place. I can tell you the normal response when you hear somebody say, hey, look, I know where you're at is bad, but God's still God. Our first response is anger. Our first response is resentment. Our first response is you ain't got a clue. Why? Because we forgot that nugget that's supposed to be hanging right there in between our eyes. Hey, he ain't my enemy. She's not my enemy. We're all just trying to get there. We're all just walking by faith and not by sight. We're all trying to live in a manner worthy of pleasing him. And that voice, that person, that when those breakers, when those waters, those hard days, when it just pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds. Praise God for, and I'm just telling you now, praise God for the people who will speak truth. Not just say what you want them to say, or not just hear what you want to hear, that it's all going to be better and it's going to be roses and it's going to be fixed tomorrow. No, it may not get, it may not get fixed. It may not get fixed. It may get worse. It may get worse. We buried Kim's father today, had the funeral today. Me and her was in the office yesterday, and she was talking. Wendy and I, when we were dating, I don't know, I guess I'd done a funeral or gone to a funeral or something, and I looked at her who was riding home, and I said, you know what? We got a lot of hurt ahead of us. We got a lot of hurt coming. If you live any time, there's going to be hurt. The longer you live, the more hurt you see. The longer you're on this earth, the closer you get to people, those around us go from here to there. There's a lot of hurt. We all got a lot of hurt. It don't always get better. It don't always go away. But you know what? He's still the same. He's constant. He don't change. He's with you. The truth that you know about the God you love so much right now is the same truth that is truth when you're in a valley and you're in a low, low spot. Let's finish it. The Lord, verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to God in my life. Verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? It's okay. It's okay to say, Lord, where in the world are you at? I don't see you. I don't feel you. I can't tell you the number of times that I've gone through churches and gone through my house screaming the name of Jesus. Wendy and the kids off somewhere, everybody else gone somewhere. I can't tell you the number of times. I don't really do it a lot. I haven't really done it a lot up here. But, I mean, I'm just being straight honest. I haven't. But down there, in a lot of places I've been, I would just walk in and I would just, middle of the night. I guess it's because I live like right across the street. I just wander across the street and exhale. Everybody went to sleep at 10. So I would just walk in and I would just walk up and down the pew saying, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I'd walk up and down the hall saying, Jesus, 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 because at the name of Jesus, demons have got to go. They've got to leave. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's okay to call out to him. It's okay to say, hey, when you find yourself at that bottom, when you find yourself possibly in a dark spot, when you don't know what else to say, say Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, how many times have you been my and our only hope? How many times have we found ourselves at that bottom, in a bad spot, in a bad place? Just, God, for whatever the reason, we're not saying it always has to have a reason. We're just, God, there's nowhere else to go. But there is absolutely something about that name. There is something about you that this world and its powers and its forces must, they absolutely must submit to your authority. You have overcome, you won, you are victory, you are hope, you are purpose and reason, you are all satisfying, you are God. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room and that may even watch this, God, that Lord, wherever they find themselves in this life and wherever these paths of this life take us, God, we can always, always call on you. And God, things change. You are all we need. And we trust you. Bless us indeed, Lord Jesus. Go with us. Give us a good rest of this night, rest of this week. Bring us back the next appointed time. Use us, Lord, for your glory, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Night-night, guys.